See you right after the international news.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the November 29th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with English Premier League football. A 20-year-old player whose parents are from Nigeria, Bukayo Saka, scored his eighth career EPL goal over the weekend. Prince Nesta has that story and more highlights from the major European club football leagues. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. English striker of Nigerian descent Bukayo Saka and Brazilian forward Gabriel Martinelli both recorded their names in the score sheet as Arsenal returned to winning ways with a 2-0 win against Newcastle at the Emirates Stadium. The Gunners are now fifth and level on points with West Ham United. Eddie Howe's side, on the other hand, are currently languishing at the bottom of the Premier League table without a single win, and are the only sixth team in the Premier League history to fail to win any of their opening 13 Premier League games. Here's Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta's reaction to his side's win.
In the first half, we took the game where we wanted, but without really being a real threat and understanding how we had to attack that block well enough, and we lacked some composure in the final third to give the final ball better. The shooting, I don't know how many times we shoot, but we didn't hit the target at all. In the second half, we changed a few things. I think we started already in a different way. Our purpose, our rhythm was much better, and we started to generate chances, and we managed to score two, and obviously the game was in control.
That was Arsenal's boss, Mikel Arteta, giving his thoughts on his side's victory against Newcastle United. Diogo Jota scored twice, while Thiago Alcantara and Virgil van Dijk added another as Liverpool cruised to a 4-0 win against Southampton at Anfield. The win now moves the Reds up to third in the Premier League table. Here's Liverpool's boss Jurgen Klopp sharing his thoughts on the match.
Yeah, today was obviously a game who went completely in our direction, so we scored early. Controlled the game pretty much. I said the boys after the game, we're 4-0. What do I have to moan about? But we can do much better. We have to do much better because Ali's saves were too spectacular, actually. So, but the goalkeeper has to save a few balls. That's completely normal, but they should not be alone in front of his goal. So that makes no sense. So we have to improve. But of course, a lot of things were really good. And it's a challenge to be after, you are right, after that week with the results we had, being 3-0 up, 4-0 up, and then keeping the concentration. That's obviously, we could see that, I think, that it was not the case. So, how's that? Space for improvement, but still good.
There's Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp's reaction after his side secured a decisive victory against Southampton. Manchester City dismissed West Ham by 2-1 to keep their Premier League title defence on track, thanks to goals from LK Gundogan and Fernandinho. Here's Manchester City boss Pep Guardiola.
Huge victory for us, for the effort, for the players, for the performance in general. So we didn't concede much. We defended set pieces really well, and the counter-attacks, we controlled them. Maybe we could make another speed, another rhythm, but the weather condition didn't allow us to do it. And good performance for all of us.
That's Manchester City manager Pep Guardiola's reaction to his team's victory against West Ham. League leaders Chelsea also came from behind to secure a 1-1 home draw against Manchester United. English forward of Trinidadian descent Jadon Sancho slotted home his first Premier League goal for the Red Devils in the 50th minute, before Italian playmaker Jorginho's 69th minute penalty sealed the victory. Manchester United's caretaker manager Michael Carrick shared his thoughts after the match.
Disappointed, actually, when you're in front in a game like this, to have it taken away from me like it was is disappointed. Immensely proud of the players, immensely proud of the whole group, the staff and the players all week in difficult situation, and trying to make the best of it. You know, can't hide from that. It's been tough at times, but we've made the best of it, and I'm immensely proud of the response and the way we've gone about it this week. But yeah, there's that little bit of feeling really that we came here to win the game. You know, we had a plan. We came here to win the game. We were positive in our mindset and our attitude for that. So we're a little bit disappointed. Yeah, I can't lie.
Chelsea boss Thomas Tuchel also gave his verdict.
We're a bit disappointed with the result, but we have no regrets about the way we played and about our performance. I think the team gave everything, and we looked sharp, we looked strong and aggressive, had many high ball recoveries, a lot of ball possession. Like I said, many high ball wins, could not create a lot of crystal clear chances, but a lot of half chances, deliveries, shots. Lacked a bit precision, had a big one I think in the third minute, and then some good chances in two against one, and yeah, you know, sometimes it's like this. I think if we score the first one, we have a huge chance that we gain some extra percent of freedom, of confidence, and that you maybe need to score another one. It was like this against Juventus, and could not use a set piece today. And okay, the goal for United make things bit more complicated.
Those Chelsea boss Thomas Tuchel sharing his thoughts after his side secured a draw against the Red Devils. Tottenham's Premier League match at Burnley was called off before kickoff due to heavy snow at Turf Moor, while Leicester City returned to winning ways after seeing off Watford 4-2 at the King Power Stadium, thanks to goals from Jamie Vardy, English football of Nigerian descent Ademola Lookman and James Maddison. Moving on to the French Premier League, six-time Ballon d'Or winner Lionel Messi registered a hat-trick of assists to help PSG cruise to a 3-1 victory against Saint-Etienne, courtesy of goals from Marquinhos and Angel Di Maria. The Parisians' victory was marred by a Neymar injury, who was stretched off late into the game after twisting his ankle. The game also featured the debut of former Real Madrid's keeper Sergio Ramos, who made his first appearance in the French league for PSG after recovering from a long-term injury. Burak Yilmaz scored, but Canadian forward of Haitian descent Jonathan David had a penalty saved, as defending champions Lille threw away a lead yet again to earn a 1-1 draw at home to Nantes. Paul Lirola's second half strike and Marseille a 1-0 win against Troyes, while Lyon secured a 1-0 away win against Montpellier, thanks to Brazilian international striker Lucas Paqueta's first half goal. Lyon currently lies 7th in the table, 2 points above Monaco, who earned a 1-1 draw against Strasbourg. Monaco drew first blood through French striker of Tunisian descent Wissam Ben Yedder's penalty before Strasbourg forward Ludovic equalized in the 48th minute. And in La Liga, French striker of Algerian descent Karim Benzema's first half goal and Vinicius Junior's sensational strike helped Real Madrid come from behind to cruise to a 2-1 victory over Sevilla in a match that was played at the Santiago Bernabeu. Thomas Lemar, Antoine Griezmann, Angel Correa and Matthias Kuna also recorded their names on the score sheet, as second place Atletico Madrid earned a 4-1 win against Cadiz. Second half goals from Dutch striker of Ghanaian descent Memphis Depay and Brazilian playmaker Felipe Coutinho also secured Barcelona's first away victory in La Liga this season after beating Villarreal by 3-1. Frankie de Jong had opened the scoring earlier in the 48th minute, but Nigerian winger Samuel Chukwueze came off the bench to level for the Yellow Submarine. Barca remained 7th in the table with 23 points, while Unai Emery's Villarreal are currently 12th with 16 points. Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nestor.
Thanks, Prince. Confederation of African Football President Patrice Motsepe says he's confident Cameroon will host a successful Africa Cup of Nations tournament. AFCON kicks off in 41 days. Motsepe spoke at the 13th CAF Extraordinary General Assembly in Cairo, Egypt. Samson Omale reports.
CAF President Patrice Motsepe at a press conference shortly after the end end of the extraordinary meeting spoke of Cameroon's preparedness for the 2021 AFCON billed for January 2022.
What I like is just the deep commitment by the people of Cameroon and the determination by all the stakeholders, including the government, to make a success of the AFCON. And to the extent that there's anything that's outstanding, we will engage and make sure that progress has been made. But I'm absolutely satisfied. All of us at this stage must focus on AFCON in Cameroon and make the huge success out of it, which I'm confident it will be.
The CAF president also clarified why the continent's football governing body is backing a FIFA proposal for the World Cup to be held every 2 years.
The prime competition, the main competition for Africa, which is AFCON, will definitely continue. Part of the process is to ensure that the players do not play more matches or more games than they did historically. And there will be a fundamental review of the competitions and of the structure that has existed over many years. We have to respond. We've got to be guided by the commercial as well as the pure football.
Staying with CAF and AFCON matters, the Confederation of African Football have launched the official match ball of the Total African Cup of Nations to be held in Cameroon next January. The match ball Togu, named after a popular Cameroonian outfit, will be used throughout the entire tournament. Designed to meet the highest standards in the game, the ball features simple technological features, including a smart panel configuration, and it's FIFA approved to be used at the highest levels of the game.
Thanks, Samson. That's Samson O'Malley. Meanwhile, CAF and FIFA have signed what's described as a historic memorandum of understanding to create world-class African referees. Once again, here's CAF President Patrice Motsepe.
We've just signed a big deal for FIFA to train our referees, African referees, to make sure that these African referees, our referees that we've got confidence in, can and that we pay well, can also officiate in some of the top football games in FIFA in the World Cup. So Gianni, as the president of FIFA, has really been most supportive.
Patrice Motsepe mentions FIFA president Gianni Infantino. VOA's Gwen Uten will have a report on the FIFA president later in the show. In African men's basketball, the first window of qualifying for the 2023 FIBA Basketball World Cup ended Sunday in Angola. The 2023 tournament will be the first FIBA Basketball World Cup hosted by multiple nations: Indonesia, Japan, and the Philippines. Five African teams will participate at the 2023 FIBA World Cup. For an update on the African qualifying, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted the secretary of FIBA Africa Zone 3, Joe Apu.
Let me say that there are 16 teams that will play in the FIBA Basketball World Cup African qualifiers during the five World Cup qualifying windows. And the first one just ended, which started on the 26th and ended on the 28th. For those windows, the first one is for groups A and C, which had Nigeria, Cape Verde, Mali, and Uganda. So that is it. And after this stage, after this qualifier, after this first window, there is also other windows. And like I said earlier, there will be five windows for Africa to produce the five qualified teams that will play in the FIBA World Cup.
Nigeria's national men's basketball team, also known as the Tigers, played in Group A. How did the team fare?
The Nigeria men's national team, the Tigers, finished top of Group A in this first window ahead of Mali, Uganda, and Cape Verde. Incidentally, it will be recalled that Nigeria lost her first game to Cape Verde because The team had just arrived and had so little time to rest before their first game and had only 9 players to rotate during that first game. But be that as it may, that did not deter the Tigers as they went into their second game against Mali and won 72-70. Against Uganda, which had defeated Nigeria, surprisingly, at the AfroBasket Championship earlier in Rwanda this year, it was a different ball game, and Nigeria came out tops against Uganda. And that means that, as it is, Nigeria, Mali, and Uganda are through to the next round of the FIBA Basketball World Cup African qualifiers, which, like I said earlier, will be in 5 windows. Nigeria, Mali, and Uganda are through to the next round, which follows after we have qualified teams from Group B and D, which will hold in February.
When will the next window of the Basketball World Cup African qualifiers take place?
Once all the 4 groups are concluded, as it is, Groups A and C are done, and in February, Group B and D will also hold and be concluded. Once that is done, then FIBA will fix a new date for the second round, which will bring 3 teams from each group into Group E and D. And after that, that will be the second window. That will be the third window, after which these teams will play to see which teams will move to the next round, because there is a 4th and a 5th window to get the 5 qualified teams that will represent Africa at the FIBA Basketball World Cup. Note, please, that in Group C, Cote d'Ivoire, Angola, and Guinea are true. Cote d'Ivoire finished with 6 points, winning all 3 games and losing none. Angola, that were hosts in Benguela for this window, finished 3-2. They won 2 games and lost 1. Guinea won 1 game and lost 2 games. And that means that, as the table stands, Cote d'Ivoire finished on 6 points, Angola 5 points, Guinea 4 points, and Central African Republic are out because they finished with 3 points.
That's Joe Apu, the Secretary of FIBA Africa Zone 3. And Joe spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Masai Ujiri, the president of Toronto Raptors Basketball, president of Giants of Africa Foundation. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Masai Ujiri and the Toronto Raptors had their wings clipped Sunday by the Boston Celtics. The Celtics beat the Raptors in Toronto 109-97. Marcus Smart scored 21 points for the Celtics, who snapped a 2-game losing streak. Meanwhile, the shorthanded Raptors played without several injured players. Toronto now has a record of 9 wins and 12 losses, while Boston improved its record to 11 victories and 10 defeats. In other NBA action Sunday, the Golden State Warriors and the defending NBA champion Milwaukee Bucks both posted victories. The AP's Dave Ferry reports.
Steph Curry delivered 33 points, and the Warriors ran their winning streak to 8 games with a 105-90 decision over the Clippers. Curry had 13 points in the fourth quarter, helping Golden State improve to 18-2 heading into Tuesday's showdown with the Suns.
First half was kind of choppy, kind of grinded out. And then it started to pick up in the third. We got out to a nice, little lead.
Otto Porter chipped in 18 points, and Jordan Poole added 17 to the victory as the Warriors improved to 7-0 on the road. Golden State led by just 1 late in the third quarter before embarking on a 26-9 run. Paul George led Los Angeles with 30 points, and Eric Bledsoe and Marcus Morris each added 13. It's now a 7-game winning streak for the Bucks after Giannis Antetokounmpo delivered 26 points and 13 rebounds in a 118-100 rout of the Pacers.
The last few games, last 10 games, we've been playing great defense. Great defense. We've been competing. We're helping one another, just making it tough for where we played. whoever we play against.
Jrue Holiday scored 11 of his 23 points, while Milwaukee outscored Indiana 39-27 in the third quarter, taking a 17-point lead. Holiday has been hot and averaging 19.7 points in the last four victories. He also had 9 assists and 7 rebounds against Indiana as the Bucks improved to 13-8. Caris LeVert led the Pacers with a season-high 23 points. Malcolm Brogdon had 16. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. Dave mentioned that Tuesday night showdown between the Golden State Warriors and the Phoenix Suns. The Suns will host the Warriors in a matchup between the teams with the NBA's best records. Phoenix has 17 wins and 3 losses and will be bidding for its 17th consecutive victory. Meanwhile, Golden State has 18 victories and 2 defeats. In 2 more NBA results Sunday, the Memphis Grizzlies mauled the Sacramento Kings 128-101, and the Los Angeles Lakers beat the Detroit Pistons 110-106. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. I encourage our Sunny Side of Sports listeners to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, my Twitter handle, @VOA Sunny Sports. Just ahead, the AP's Tom Merriam will have some National Football League news for us.
The 12th Sunday of the NFL season featured 7 games matching teams that entered the day with at least a .500 record. The top matchup came in Foxborough, where AP's Gethin Kulbaugh saw the hottest team in the league cool off another hot team.
Mac Jones helped the Patriots topple the AFC's number one seed in a 36-13 rout of the Titans. Jones threw for a career-best 310 yards and a pair of touchdowns to lead New England to its 6th straight win.
The Baltimore Ravens are now atop the AFC standings after downing the Cleveland Browns 13-10 Sunday night. The Cincinnati Bengals made a big move in the AFC North by routing the Pittsburgh Steelers 41-10. Joe Burrow ran for a touchdown and passed for another.
It means a lot right now, but it also means nothing if we go out and lose the rest of them.
In the NFC, the Packers topped the Rams 36-28 to move Aaron Rodgers' team within a half game of Arizona for top seeding there.
There's still a lot to be figured out in the conference, but I like where we're at. I like our football team.
The Buccaneers squeezed past the Colts 38-31. Leonard Fournette inspired the Bucs with 4 touchdown runs and a halftime message to his teammates.
You have the willing to risk everything. Play by play, you have to want to win, want to fight each and every play. And I think they understood that message and came out and played their lights out.
In other games, the 49ers held off the Vikings 34-26, Broncos 28, Chargers 13. The Dolphins won their 4th straight 33-10 versus the Panthers. Both New York teams had a rare victory, 13-7 for the Giants over the Eagles and 21-14 for the Jets against the Texans. Same score for the Falcons topping the Jaguars. A stunning coaching move in college football. Lincoln Riley has left Oklahoma to become the head coach at USC. Riley had coached the Sooners for 5 seasons, winning 55 of 65 games. The Trojans had fired Clay Helton early in the season. I'm Tom Merriam.
Thanks, Tom. Earlier in the show, we heard Confederation of African Football President Patrice Motsepe say how Africa is backing a proposal to hold the FIFA World Cup every 2 years. Joining us now with more details is VOA's Gwen Uden. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. On Friday, the 52 members that make up the Confederation of African Football, or CAF, voted unanimously in support part of a plan proposed by FIFA President Gianni Infantino to stage the World Cup every 2 years. Infantino spoke at a news conference in Cairo and said the change could protect the future of football for a younger generation.
The FIFA Congress has given us a clear mandate with 88% of members voting in favor of conducting a feasibility study on whether it is feasible to have a World Cup every 2 years. Why? Well, because we need to protect football. And we need to make sure that football remains relevant for our young generation. And I would say particularly in a continent like Africa, where 40% of the population is below 15 years of age. We need to think about the future. We need to think, how can we make our sport more enthusiastic, more relevant for the young generation?
The proposed plan is not without controversy. Confederations in Europe and South America have come out against changes to the World Cup's current four-year cycle. UEFA, the governing body of European football, says the new schedule would create an imbalance between local, domestic, and international competitions. And the South American Football Confederation, CONMEBOL, says it would not take part if the tournament is held every 2 years. However, Gianni Infantino says those who oppose the reforms are simply afraid of change.
Those who are against are those who are at the top. It happens every sector of life. When there are reforms and changes, those who are at the top, they don't want anything to change because they are at the top. They are afraid, maybe, that if something changes, their leadership position is at risk. We understand that. But at the same time, we cannot close the door. We need to keep the door open. We need to give hope. We need to give opportunities to the entire world. 40 countries in Africa have been fighting in order to get 10 group winners, and even the 10 group winners are not qualified yet for the World Cup. So another two games will decide on the 5 who go to the World Cup, and those who don't qualify, they have to wait 4 years for the next World Cup. So we need to give more opportunities to all the teams to play with each other. We need to offer more chances and opportunities for world football, for African football, to shine at the world stage.
Infantino has received the support from CAF President Patrice Motsepe, who is a close ally. And along with his endorsement for biennial World Cup, on Friday, Motsepe talked about plans for next year's Africa Cup of Nations and said he will follow the science in light of the recent discovery of a new coronavirus variant that has affected several African countries.
The important thing is that it is being assessed, it is being evaluated. Some of the European countries have responded by redlisting some countries. So we will be guided by the science, we will be guided by the findings. And we thought that the world was moving in the right direction and that progress was being made concerning opening up. Many countries have vaccinated, although in Africa, the vaccination process can really do with a huge sense of urgency. In some countries, there's already the booster that's in place. So we'll keep an eye on what science is telling us and be guided by science. In the meantime, all the plans we have will proceed with all the caution and protocols for COVID-19 as we've had in the past.
The Africa Cup of Nations tournament kicks off on January 9th, 2022 in Cameroon. Meanwhile, next year's World Cup is set to make history as the first tournament to be held at the end of the calendar year in November and December, and the first World Cup tournament ever to be held in the Middle East. The World Cup will increase its number of finalists from 32 to 48 when Canada, Mexico, and the United States host the tournament in 2026. So far, no timeline has been given about how soon a biennial World Cup will be implemented. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. wraps up the November 29th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.